I would like you to imagine that I have a company and I'm hiring, and I'd like you to submit an application, and I would like you to include three references. One from a neighbor, one from an employer, and one from a friend. And I'd like you to submit their telephone numbers, because I will call them and interview them, and I will ask them to tell me your story. Would I get three different stories? For any number of reasons, that would happen, right? There are different stories of our lives for these reasons. And I would like this morning to go to the life of Joseph and look at two different stories. And I want to go through Joseph's life stage by stage, and I'll try and do it quickly, and we'll be finished by 2 o'clock. Joseph only takes up, most of chapters 37 to 50 in Genesis. We'll start first with the family dynamics. Joseph did not have a very good start. Here's where it starts. In Genesis chapter 37, this is the account of Jacob's family line. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel, that is Jacob, loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made an ornate robe for him. Now, we get a lot from this little few sentences. First of all, we learn that this is the account of Jacob's family line, and Joseph is a young man of 17. He is the 11th in the line of brothers. Don't know how many sisters he had, but he had at least 11 brothers, and then Benjamin was to become a little bit later. But he's in Jacob's family line. That's not a very good start. I know that there are different opinions about Jacob, but I just personally don't have a very high opinion of Jacob. Jacob was a deceiver, and Joseph was born into Jacob's family line. Second thing we learn is that his brothers were the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. He lived in a polygamous family. His father had several wives, and if there is conflict between brothers, there is often more conflict between stepbrothers. And so Joseph grows up in a family with these brothers from different wives, and that brings conflict. Thirdly, he brought their father a bad report about them. He was a squealer. That's not going to get you very many points with your brothers, right? I remember vaguely my brothers in childhood. And then we learn that Jacob loved Joseph more than any of the other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made an ornate robe for him. He's the favorite, right? My wife came across this the other day. I now know that when someone asks me who is my favorite child, I'm supposed to name one of my own. Joseph was a favorite child. He was favored by his father. Then, if that's not enough, he has a lot of points against him, right? If that's not enough, J- Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He had a dream that they were all going to bow down and worship him. And then he had another dream. You kind of get the impression that Joseph may be a little slow on the pickup. He does it again. They hate him the first time, so he does it again. Let's rub it in. So Joseph did not have a very good start. Then we learn that Joseph came to a point where he was sold into slavery. One day his father sends him out to, his brothers are out looking after the sheep, and Joseph is kept at home. Probably had some chores needed to be done at home, and so he's kept at home. And so Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan, but they saw him in a distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. Like, I've been trying to set the scene that Joseph is not very well liked. They plotted to kill him? Now, we had some conflicts as brothers, but no, nothing ever went that far. That's way beyond, all right? So, what happens is, he comes to these brothers, and Reuben, the oldest brother, there are 10 of them, right? There's got to be a mixture of feelings and a mixture of strength of animosity. So Reuben, the oldest one, says, hey, brothers, let's just take it easy here. Let's not kill him right away. Let's put him in down in this dry well, right? Or a cistern that they've got in the desert there where they collect water, but at the moment it's dry, and we'll put him down in this dry cistern and let's keep him for that, right? Well, one day Reuben is away from the camp, and a caravan of traders comes by, and who was it? Judah says, hey, I think here's an idea that I came up with could save us from killing him. How about we sell him to these traders? So they sell Joseph to the traders. Then they get together, right? So there's a kind of a mixture of feeling, but they all get together and come up with a scheme to slaughter a goat, dip his robe in the, and Joseph's robe is symbolic, right? It symbolizes his favoritism with his father. It's Joseph's robe. It's not somebody else's. They dip it in the blood, take it back to Jacob. And Jacob is devastated. He has lost his favorite son. He's been killed. We come back to Joseph. And Joseph is taken down to Egypt by these slave traders, and he is sold to a guy named Potiphar, who is kind of the captain of the guard. He's a pretty big dog in Egypt, right? Now, watch here the other story. The other story has been going on, but it's going to emerge. It's going to poke its head up through the surface here. Watch how this story emerges. It's not the story of Joseph was down in the pit and he's been put up in Potiphar's house. That's just a detail. The other story is God's story. It's God's story. There's the surface story of Joseph, but then there's God's story behind it. Watch how the story of God's activity emerges. Here's what we read. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered and lived in the house of his Egyptian master. And when his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. And Potiphar put him in charge of his household. and he entrusted him to his, he entrusted to his care everything he owned. See that? The Lord was with Joseph. His master saw that the Lord was with him. And the Lord gave him success in everything he did. That's the other story. The other story is that we see what's going on, but behind us, there's another story going on, and this is God's story. This is what God is doing. I don't remember where I read it, but I read it somewhere. The Bible is not the story of Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel and all these others down through the train. It is God's story lived out through these people. It is God's story. So here's the story of God in Joseph. And when we see that story, let me give you, here's another detail of the story. From the time he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in his house and in his field. See? When God's blessing comes on the life of Joseph, it has an effect outward. Joseph is working, he's employed by Potiphar. And the blessing of God on Joseph has a blessing on Potiphar. Wherever you are working, and it may be for an employer, it may be in a home, it may, whatever. Wherever you are, wherever you're active, the blessing of God can have an effect through you, not only to you, but through you, to those around. God can bless. And then we come to the next phase of Joseph's life, and what we find is that Joseph is managing Potiphar's affairs, and Potiphar's wife has her eye on this good-looking young guy. That's exactly how Moses describes him, good-looking young guy. Potiphar's wife sees him and tempts him, puts temptation in front of him, right? Watch how Joseph answers. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you're his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? That's Joseph. See? God was with him, but that's what he said. Joseph said, how could I do such a wicked thing against my master and sin against God? Now let me put those two things together. Here they are. The Lord was with him, and he said, how could I do such a wicked thing? When we were young, we used to argue over stuff like this. We used to say, which one comes first? Is the fact that the Lord was with him help him to do that, or is the Lord with him because he did that? That's not the issue. That's not the issue. The issue is just do it. Right? Let God look after his responsibility, and you look after yours. Let God do the being with him, and then you do the refusing temptation part. That's the important thing, see. That's how Joseph operated. He operated under the blessing of God, but he did what was necessary. Okay, so everything's going to go well, right? Joseph has refused temptation. Okay. Well, the thing is, Joseph's master took and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were held. So apparently Pharaoh had a prison, a special prison for the king's prisoners. For his, I don't know whether it's right to call them political prisoners, but anyway, he had a place where he kept these prisoners. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. It's still going on. The blessing of God is still with Joseph, and Joseph is still acting in harmony with that blessing. Now let's pause a minute and think about him in prison. It's been about 11 years since he was sold to the slave traders. So he's about 28 years old. And we don't know how much of that time he spent in Potiphar's service in the house and how much of it he spent in the prison. But you can guess. If he spent half of it in Potiphar, he had to spend enough time in Potiphar's house to establish a reputation such that Potiphar put him in charge of everything, right? That takes more than a few months. So he spent some time in Potiphar's house, and then he spent some time in prison, and he established his reputation in prison. When was God most with Joseph? Neither one. God was with him all the time. He was with him all the time. God never left him. So Joseph becomes known as a dream interpreter. Potiphar puts a couple of guys in the prison. Not the butcher and the baker, but the baker and the cupbearer. And these guys have dreams. The cupbearer has a dream, and the baker has a dream. And Joseph, here's what Joseph says to them. Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? How can I interpret your dream? Interpretations belong to God. Tell me your dreams." He's pretty confident. He's had experience with dreams, but he says interpretation of the dreams belong to God, right? So he interprets their dreams. The cupbearer gets restored to his position, and the baker gets executed. When 2 full years had passed, he had a promise they'd tell Pharaoh, right? They forgot. The cupbearer forgot. When 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing by the Nile when out of the river came 7 cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed among the reeds, and after them 7 other cows, ugly and gaunt. And the cows that were ugly and gaunt ate up the 7 sleek, fat cows. And then he had another dream about 7 heads of grain and 7 good heads and 7 bad heads of grain and so on. And then he comes to Joseph because the cupbearer says, "I know a guy." And Pharaoh says, "I have heard of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." Now we know what to expect by this time from Joseph, but this is Pharaoh, right? Here's what he says. "I cannot do it," Joseph replied, "but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires." See, that's Joseph. He's consistent. There must have been a time when Joseph came awake and he got rid of all this childhood baggage and just focused on God. And now he's showing it all over the place. So Pharaoh appoints him governor of all Egypt. Not governor of one province or one state, but governor of all Egypt. Here's what he says. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You'll be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." And Joseph at this time is 30 years old. He came to Egypt when he's 17. He's now 30. He's made governor of all Egypt. Here's what he does. Just sort of survey these words. He collected all the food produced in 7 years. He collected all the money that was made to be found in Egypt. He collected all the livestock, and he bought all the land for Pharaoh. Now, that wouldn't go over real well in our modern democracies, but it wouldn't have gone over real well in the land of Israel because they had provisions to prevent that. But in Egypt, that's what he did. We're going to wrap this up. Reconnecting with his family. The famine is not just Egypt. It's all over the Middle East. And Jacob sent 10 of his sons down to Egypt to collect bread, to collect food or grain. And lo and behold, they faced Joseph, who is now Egyptian, who is dressed as an Egyptian, who is has his beard cut, trimmed as an, you know, has his beard shaved as an Egyptian, the whole bit. And he's all dressed up, and they don't recognize him, but he recognizes them. And he says, "You're spies." I'm kind of guessing, but I think he's buying some time. How am I going to approach these guys? So he has them thrown in prison, keeps them in prison for 3 days. And then he says, in the course of conversation, he learns I have a young brother, Benjamin. So he said, I'm going to send you home, bring your brother, Benjamin, but I will keep one of you here in prison as a guarantor of you bringing Benjamin. They go back and tell Jacob. And Jacob says, "You have deprived me of my children. Joseph is no more. Simeon is no more." He's back in prison in Egypt. "And now you want to take Benjamin. Everything is against me." That's Jacob. Some of Jacob's crows are coming back to roost. Jacob the deceiver is now being deceived, and he's going to have to deal with it. Anyway, he ends up sending Benjamin with them. Joseph sees him, and he says to his guys, "Take them to my house." Joseph says, "Take them to my house." He goes to the house, and eventually, as he meets with them, he has to withdraw to a private room and weep. Then he puts some money in the cup. He puts some money in the money in their bags, and he puts a cup in Benjamin's bag. Judah negotiates, and Joseph breaks down and reveals himself. Here's where we're going to end up. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers, and he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one who sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed, do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you." For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land. And for the next 5 years, there's to be no plowing or reaping, but God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, to save your lives by great deliverance, so that it was not you who sent me here, but God sent me. He made me a father to Pharaoh, lord of the entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. That's Joseph. That's where Joseph ends up. Joseph sees the story behind the surface. He doesn't see just his circumstances. He goes through his circumstances, and he's got to suffer his circumstances, but he sees the story behind the story. He sees the story behind the surface. All right, here we go, wrap up. Joseph had learned, no matter how difficult our story, God is working out his story behind the scenes. When you come into tough circumstances, how do you handle them? When you face something that seems insurmountable, how do you handle it? Can you see that maybe God is working behind the scenes? Second thing Joseph learned was, our problems and faults will not defeat God's story. No matter what happens to us, if we're put in a pit, if we're sold into slavery, no matter what happens to us, God is bigger than our circumstances. Thirdly, Joseph learned, our surface story may not look like God's, but God has put us here now. Why does God have you here now? And here can mean a lot of things. It can mean in this building. It can mean in the Columbia area. It can mean in these United States. God has put you here now. And that's part of his story. And then finally, our responsibility is to know God is working out his story and cooperate. Joseph could have thought God's story. Joseph could have gone down to Egypt in rebellion, but he didn't. He cooperated with God's story. He trusted God. And look what God did through him. What a story. Isn't that amazing? Amazing.